Well, good morning, Jacob Swall. It's great to have you all here today. I'm Greg Meyer, and I get to fill you in on some stuff that I think I'm actually pretty excited about. Thanks, JC, band. We're going to see some more of them, and thankful for that. I also want to give a shout-out to Amanda and Phil, who aren't here today because they are getting married this afternoon, and that's Oliver, and Oliver is in the wedding. Seriously. So that's very exciting. We'll get them married. And that Amanda is Laura and Michael White's daughter, and it's her soon-to-be son-in-law, so that's pretty exciting. And then I just want to underline what Melanie filled us in on the welcome, is that don't come here next week. Come to 42nd Street East, where it hits the river road, all right, on this side of the Mississippi, and we're going to be cheering there. And we'll be there, you know, for a pretty long stretch, so come when you want and be a part of it. And you know, I think that's what's happening in the Twin Cities. That's and it's a great thing to learn from and to be a part of. And we're going to be cheering on a whole bunch of Jacob Swall runners in there. So thanks, Melanie, for doing these. I know you're in here someplace for doing all those. There she is, wearing her appropriate shirt. And Barb, who is part of the team. We got others. And, right, congratulations. They're raising thousands and thousands of dollars for water for Africa. So this is just fantastic. And learning a lot about themselves along the way. Is that safe to say? Yeah. Okay. And if you do, like she said, if you want to support them and you don't know how to do that, just write something on your communication card and someone will get in touch with you and help you figure that out. So that's good stuff. So welcome to our final week of Grit. The series is over, but unfortunately, Grit doesn't finish for you guys or for me. This is the kind of stuff you're going to be doing for the rest of your life, and that's some pretty important stuff. So just to recap, grit is what makes commitments actually ever get fulfilled, all right? Long after the excitement, the inspiration, the necessity that got you into a commitment is faded, grit has taken over, and it's helping you finish a job. All right, so that's it's an essential piece of this. And so often, you know, we think about our commitments as these duties and obligations, and that's not what it's about. I mean, far from this world of ought-tos and have-tos, what commitments are really about are possibilities. Possibilities that could be realized in your life, and your commitment is your way of doing it. And that's why grit is so important, because grit is what's going to make those possibilities actually happen for you. And that's why you should care about it. That's why God cares about it, because God is interested in realizing possibilities with you. And it's why, you know, we just need to be spending some time understanding this grit. The Bible is full of characters that exhibit all sorts of grit in many, many different ways. And Paul, the New Testament character, is certainly one of them. Paul here is writing to one of his proteges. You'll find this on the back of your Sunday paper if you want to flip it over. You'll see an outline there. And Paul says to Timothy, his protege, fight the good fight of faith, all right? It's not, you know, enjoy the nice ride of faith. It's fight the good fight of faith. This is kind of gritty stuff, right? Take hold of the eternal life. He's not saying take hold of heaven. He's saying take hold of the eternal life, i.e. not the temporary life, not the popular life, but the life that lasts, life that is going to be there in the future and that you can participate in, the big picture. So take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Translation, to which you made a public commitment. All right? So take hold of that. Now, that sounds like grit to me. Grit is one of those things that makes your life matter, makes my life matter. Grit helps you fight gravity. You know that thing that pulls you down to the lowest possible point in life? The thing that makes you, you know, just go with the flow, that helps you end up at the bottom of the heap of things rather than making choices that would get you someplace. Grit may be hard. It may feel like it takes an awful lot of upfront investment, doing what you know you need to do even when you don't feel like doing it. But grit pays back, because grit helps you be what you're hoping to be. It gets you into the stuff of life that endures, that lasts. I want you to watch this video with me. It's short. Some of you may have seen it before. If you have seen it, you definitely want to be seeing it again. It's pretty cool. So let's take a look at this.
Choices we make reveal the true nature of our character.
We're serving Guinness after the service. You know, I tried several times to cut off the Guinness thing. However they made that video, you can't stop it. But that's okay. Let's give them credit. They did. How many of you saw that coming at the end? You know? It totally caught me by surprise. That's amazing. I mean, there's more than beer going on in this commercial. They're talking about stuff that really matters. They're talking about, here's what I see. The backstory just seems obvious, right? So there's a bunch of guys that always got together and they play basketball. And all of a sudden something happens to one of them and he becomes disabled and he can't play anymore. So they've got two choices. It can be all about the basketball, in which case the one guy can't keep the commitment to basketball anymore. So he, you know, rides his wheelchair up to the sideline and watches and has a beer with him afterwards until that becomes too discouraging and he stops and he falls away from the group. Or it can be about each other, in which case they realize one of us can't play basketball anymore. So what are we going to do? We got to find a new way to be together. And so they all learn wheelchair basketball. I mean, did you hear that one guy's, you know, comment? Hey, I'm getting better at this. I mean, it wasn't easy. I mean, look at it. That's hard stuff. When you fall over in your chair, you're not allowed to just get up and set your chair up and sit down again. No, you're disabled. So you got to push yourself back up onto your chair. All right? It isn't what they're used to. I mean, being 6'2" and having some pretty good vertical wouldn't help me a whole lot in a wheelchair, would it? You know, I'm the same height as everybody else, and I can't jump. It also probably isn't all that cool. You know, you can imagine, you know, these kind of wannabe macho guys, you know, with their friends and saying, yeah, I play basketball. Hey, really? Can we play basketball with you sometime? Well, you can, but you got to do it in a wheelchair. You guys play wheelchair basketball? You know, it's not very cool in basketball terms, but pretty cool in humanity terms, I would say. I mean, these guys are smart. This is some good stuff. Now, that it that I just mentioned, they had two choices. It could be about basketball, or it could be about each other. What is that it? In fact, that's kind of what we're talking about today. That it is their lives, isn't it? It's the outcome of the commitments that they make where it will deliver them someday. And somehow these guys, at least in a commercial, somehow these guys got the perspective on what it was about for them, that they made consciously or unconsciously a very clear choice that they wanted to be able to say someday that they had been true to their relationships with each other and not just wanting to have a good time playing basketball the way they always knew how to do it before. That's some pretty important stuff. And so they took up wheelchair basketball. Now, that big enough perspective that allows us to make choices about what it is going to be in our lives is essential. You cannot make good commitments. You will never keep good commitments. You will never find the ability to exercise the grit that you need to keep your life on focus without that perspective, that bigger picture that you're going to be visiting from time to time. It's what it helps you remember what you get for all the grit. Grit, and this is the first fill-in on your sheet, grit needs to see its destination. It needs to be able to back up and look at the big picture and say, this is where I'm going. This is why it's worth it. This is why I'm doing it. I need to remember why, and so do you. Now, this is a foundational concept in the Bible from very, very early on in the Bible. In fact, there's a character named Moses, okay? Most of you have heard about Moses, right? He's the one who leads the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt towards the promised land through the wilderness, all right? They're 40 years wandering in the wilderness, 40 being code for this lasts forever, folks, all right? And in the midst of all that, God wants Moses to see what all this effort that he's been, all the sacrifices he made, everything he gave up in order to do this, he wants Moses to be able to see what this is all about. And so at the very, these are the very last words from Moses' life. In fact, the very last words from the entire Torah, the Pentateuch, if you're one of those Bible geek people and know what that means. And this is, let me just read you these lines. It's also on your Sunday paper. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him the whole land. Now, the names of these places aren't important, all right? You're probably not going to mean anything to you. But the point is that God has taken him up to this place where he can just see everything all around him. He sees everything that's out there, all right? And the Lord, find my place again, and the Lord showed him the whole land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Okay, now these are again, what? What's that? Just imagine the hearers that this was written for were saying, really? I mean, I know those places. I've heard about them. I saw pictures of them in National Geographic magazine, you know? This is the entire world, really? I mean, God is showing him all of this for a reason? It's kind of like us listening to Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land, you know? Okay, so, and then it goes on. This is the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over to it. Now, what he's saying at the end there is, I want you to have this vision so that you know what we've been at all this time, but you're not going to get it yourself. Now, translation, all right? Again, God is talking here. This means we're supposed to be listening. God's teaching. We need to be listening here. And God is saying something not just to Moses. He's saying something to everybody. He's saying you're a part of something that began long before you. It's requiring a commitment from you, and it's an extent way beyond you. And I need you to see the big picture. So I'm showing it to you through this character, Moses, in a figurative fashion. All right, he's looking at everything here. But this is something that I promised. It started way before you. It started with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And now it's coming on to you and then to Aaron. It's going to happen through the judges. And it's going to happen through the kings, through David and through Solomon. It's going to be happening through Isaiah and Jeremiah and gradually through Mary and Joseph and Jesus and Paul and Peter and Luther and Calvin and Bonhoeffer and Martin Luther King and you. This promise, this vision of what we are all about that is worth committing, is worth all the grit that you have ever put it in, I want you to see it. You need to see it, because you'll never stick with it if you don't see it. But don't expect to have it right now. Don't expect to have it right now. This is a vision to keep you going. Now, I think the question that begs is, when you get to your mountaintop, what do you see? What's your it? What do you see? On your outlines, you're going to see a box, and it has that question in it. And, you know, I'm not going to ask you to fill that in right now. You might have some ideas you want to jot in there, but I would say spend some time thinking about, what am I seeing? What is this mountaintop view that God gives me the ability to look at? Show me that this is what's really worth dedicating my life towards. In fact, this is a really, really good exercise as you get into group life as it's ramping up, or if you maybe aren't in one yet, but as you spend time with group life talking about what we're dealing with today with this part of grit, I think it would be really good for you as a group to start filling in that box. Say, what do we see? What do I see from that mountaintop perspective? Now, this is really important, because when you project through all these things, you start seeing what you are spending your life on. That's your legacy, the world that you are going to leave in your wake. Now, today is a good day to start that, to get out of the brush of all the busyness, all the distractions, all the stuff that just kind of keeps you busy and keeps you focused on the ground right in front of your feet, and to look at the big picture. God is really, really good at this, by the way. Let God help you in this process. Now, you may have heard me say this before, but it's incredibly true. So I have had the honor, and I really mean the honor, of being with quite a few people as they got very close to their death, or even right at their death. And they have a tendency to talk to me about what they really value in their life, or maybe what they really miss in their life. And I have never heard anyone say they wished they had watched more TV. I have never heard anyone say anything remotely like, if we had only gotten that bigger house. Or, I wish I had done something to get that different job that, you know, moved up the ladder a little bit more. They haven't even gone in those directions. Yeah, you know, I wish I had just always answered the phone when it rang, you know? No, they talk about people. They talk about their relationships. They talk about experiences, remembering things that they did with other people. That's what's important. That is what God shows you from the mountaintop, to remember that this is what you are building your life around, not some of those other sort of things. You probably also have heard the expression that no one has ever seen a funeral procession where the hearse is pulling a U-Haul, all right? You don't take it with you, right? You leave it behind and no one cares anymore. What they care about is who you were with them in this life that we share together. That's what you're created for. That's what life is all about. So here's some clues for you and for me. And that is what that is. If those things aren't so important later on, why do we make them so important to us right now? That's kind of the big question, isn't it? Why are we exercising so much grit on some of those things that don't matter instead of the commitments that actually do matter in our lives? So what I want to spend some time today is when we get this mountaintop view and we're looking at that legacy, we're looking at the end game, how do we know? How do we kind of keep on track? What are some of the indicators, the markers along the way that help us, you know, kind of just catch our attention, red flag us, and let us know we're on track or off track? Okay? So what are some of the indicators that we are along the way to a fulfilled life? First of all, I'm going to start on the negative side. What are a couple of indicators that let you know you're probably not quite on the right track, okay? And these are two things that aren't on the way. And these are fill-ins, success and happiness. I talked a little bit about these last week, but I think we need to revisit this again. Success and happiness. And when I say success, I'm talking about the very cultural bound success that's defined in, you know, traditional ways of power and money and possessions and prestige and things like that, right? This is something we need to wrap our heads around. Those things are not goals. They're means to ends, or they're products of experiences. They are not goals. And when we chase them, we tend to get off track. The real goals, the kind that really need and deserve our grit, they deal with what we call transformation, right? They deal with transformation. And transformation means change. And change means loss. And most of us perceive loss as pain. It's hurt. It hurts. It's hard. It's also good for us, okay? So when God has a choice, I can make Greg happy, or I can make Greg better, guess what God chooses? I'm going to make Greg better, all right? I mean, not that God goes in and just manipulates my life that way, but I think hopefully I make those kinds of choices too. And the reason is when I choose better, even though it might be painful, even though it might be hard, even though it may be the road less traveled, in the long run, I am creating a capacity in my life and around my life that's going to allow me to be a participant in a much deeper sense of both success and happiness. Ones that are tying into that stuff that we talked about earlier, you know, the kind of life that lasts. So if you're trying to answer the question, what should I be doing with my life right now? What really deserves my commitments and I should be exercising grit towards? And you do that by saying, well, what makes me happy? Or what's going to make me successful in traditional terms? You're probably asking wrong questions. Or if you're just saying, am I happy doing this? Or is it making me successful? Those are probably not the right questions. Okay, I'm not anti-happiness and I'm not anti-success. I'm just saying they have a different role in our lives than being real obvious markers that we're on the right track. Right? They play a very different role and they're actually not quite as important as we think that they are. Okay, those are the negative indicators. Here are a couple positive ones that indicate that you are on the way. One, your life is different from the pack. Your life is different from the pack. The other is, your life is often inconvenient. This is fun. Aren't you glad you came today? You know. Okay, again, it's not that God just wants you to may have a harder road, a hole, or just doesn't want anything to be easy for you. It really boils down to a lot of the same things. Be different for different sake is not what we're talking about, okay? And like just, you know, foregoing all the easy things in life and doing everything the hard way is also not what we're talking about when I say your life is often going to be inconvenient. But the fact is that these are both bound to be true if you're really responding to who God is calling you to be and how God is trying to use you in your life. We live in a world of such conformity of expectation that is so driven by the pursuit of those things I talked about earlier, success and power and happiness, that to not participate in that race is going to leave you a loner. You're going to find that you're not doing it everyone else does. And since they have created the well-worn track, the respected track in our world, you're going to be a little out of sync of how society is designed and what's going to make things happening, which means you are going to be a little different from the other people around you. It also means that probably the systems are not made to reinforce the way that you're trying to live life, so it's going to be a little less convenient for you. I'm sorry that life isn't always convenient. You know, I'm sorry that you can't just be like one of everyone else. But I think you're all here in these seats today because you're saying, yeah, I want that other kind of life. In fact, I need you here. I think we're saying this to each other. We need each other here to remind us that that's a life we're choosing and to help us have the grit to stick with it. And so we're here around those sorts of things today. Now, in order to be able to do this, to figure some of these things out for yourself, I think you're going to be finding that you're choosing the things that you do for two reasons that differentiate you and inconvenience you from a lot of the people around you. And that's this. You're going to be doing things for long-term reasons. Not for the short-term gain, not for instant gratification, but because you know, remember that verse we said that we heard a minute ago? Fight the good fight of faith. Hold on to the eternal life. You're going to be doing things for that longer view of things and what the bigger picture, what life is about, okay? So you're going to be doing things for long-term reasons. You're also going to be doing it for other-centered reasons, and it will be less about what you get and more about what you give. When you get to the top, to that mountaintop, and you're looking around yourself, you're not seeing your possessions. You're seeing what you are a part of. That's a very different perspective. It's a fairly countercultural perspective. You're not going to be seeing what you get. You're seeing what you get to be a steward of, what you get to use for purposes that God has been and will continue to reveal to you as you make yourself available to look at that and say, God, what does all this mean? And how can this all be there for me? The book of Hebrews is kind of a summary book towards the end of the Bible where the writer, we don't actually even know who wrote it, was writing to a Hebrew, a Jewish audience, kind of helping them understand what this faith is all about. And towards the end of it, the author marches through just all these great characters from the Old Testament and what their lives, what accomplished, how God used them in their lives and so on. And it ends with this unbelievably poetic passage. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. I just want to read these verses to you. All these people that he had just recited the lives of, all these died in faith without having received the promises. But from a distance they saw and they greeted them. They had that mountaintop. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. They're seeking a place where they really belong, where they are of the same fabric that world is knit from. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had left, but that they had left behind, the world of popular success, the world of possessions and all that stuff, they could have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly one, an everlasting one, one that stays, that has real meaning, real endurance with our lives and our world. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, God has prepared a city for them. This is who we are, this contrast community that has chosen to step back and say, what is the it in my life? What do I see from my mountaintop? What commitments are actually worth making, and how am I going to have the grit to get myself to those things? And I think one of the things that we hear from this, you know, we heard that from Paul talking to Timothy. We heard it from Moses' life. We hear it again in this reading from Hebrews. But these things, you know, they don't end, do they? Not like marathons, and despite the picture that you see on the front of the Sunday paper where it says finish line, these commitments don't really have finish lines, do they? We work towards them. We realize that we realize the benefits of them. We start seeing the differences they make in our lives and the lives of the people and in our world. But goals worth the grit of committing to seldom have finish lines. We have to get used to that. It's kind of good. I'm not sure I really want them to have finish lines. I want to share one last thing with you here today, which is maybe a pretty amazing example of what this kind of grit is all about and how we are part of something that is so much bigger than us that we have inherited and we can enjoy and we start seeing the vision of it, but it's hard and it doesn't always go that smoothly, but we have hope and we continue in it. The video I want to show you is the very ending of Bono and U2's Pop Mart concert in Johannesburg, South Africa, back in 1998. You can imagine it. You'll see it in a second here. Huge outdoor concert. I don't know, tens of thousands, maybe 100,000 people in attendance. And this is U2, right? I mean, how's it going to end? Fireworks, huge, you know, enormous music, just kind of overwhelm everybody. Or what? Let's take a look and see what he does. A long time ago, no sunglasses.
How long You got it in your hands. Good night from you too.
You pause it.
All right. Well, we'll see the end of it yet, but I just want you to get the context. This song called 40, it's Psalm 40, okay? It's the end of the concert. He's going to walk off stage now. He's done. That's it. And what are the last words he said? You've got it. It's in your hands now. Well, what? This is 1998, Johannesburg, South Africa. Apartheid. It's just been happening. This place is a mess. No one trusts anybody, knows how anything's going to go. But he knows they're on the road of hope. They've made a great commitment, and it's going to take grit. How long? How long are you going to sing this song? I don't know. How long is it going to take us? But you've got it. It's in your hands now. Let's watch the end. Lord, I don't know how long we have to sing this song, but we've got it. Thank you for giving it to us. Thank you for putting it into our hands and entrusting us with it. Help us to do that together, because there's no way we can do it on our own. We need you, and we need each other. Our lives matter. The world that we are building with you matters. Help us to not waste a day. Help us to enjoy the grit. Help us to enjoy mile 20 of the marathon. Help us enjoy the training along the way. Help us to be excited, inspired by what you have called us to. And help us to get those mountaintop views so that we get that bigger picture and understand what it is that we are part of. Something that could only happen when we come together in you. In your name we pray. Amen.